keep it going, keep it going, guys, keep it going, come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Morril.
Title, Sam Morril, You've Changed.
Hello.
Morril walks out on stage in a casual black suit.
How are you guys? Boston, hello. How, thank you. Don't overdo it. It's not going to be that good, but not a good listener. I'm not good in relationships. Very bad at listening. You ever do this in a relationship? You ever pop an Adderall and really listen? Hit him with that performance enhanced listen. Like a Viagra, but for the relationship. Some would say more impressive. What's really more impressive? A hard cock or 45 straight minutes of, Tell me more. I'm dating a very nice woman right now. The other night I come home from a gig. She's in my apartment dressed as a schoolgirl, which is a nice gesture, not really my fetish. I picked her because she's an adult. That's a big part of it. And, also, she's older than me. She doesn't even look like a schoolgirl. She looks more like a dumbass that got held back 20 years. I'm like, oh, neat. I get to bang a special ed all-star tonight. That's fun. We were sleeping together one night. While we're doing it, I lost my erection. It's a terrible moment. You know what I mean? It just slides out. Like a drunk being asked to leave the bar. And he's like, I'll be back. And everyone's like, I don't know, dude. And she got insecure. She was like, is it me? And I was like, yeah. It's not your fault. You're very attractive. It's just we've done this a lot. You ever try to explain the situation? You make it 10 times worse. I was like, look, the penis is like a guard dog. For a stranger, it's gonna go crazy. But with familiarity, it will soften. And she got angry. Started screaming and cursing at me. And then I got hard again. So it could be me. Been on the road a lot. Been traveling like crazy. I missed a gig in Vermont recently. I was flying from Texas to Vermont. I had to connect in Philly. The flight attendants will never admit you're going to miss the connection. I told her, I was like, I'm not going to make this. She goes, trust me. I said, I'm looking at the live update. She goes, I think you'll be okay. I said, all right. So we land in Philly at gate B2. My connection, F32. On my phone, it says we're boarding. So I just held up the phone to show her. She looks at me and she goes, run. Now I'm that lunatic sprinting through the airport. You've seen that guy. You know it's hopeless. I get there just as the door is shutting, and I scream out of breath, please don't shut the door. She looks right at me. I'm so sorry. Right in my face. I said, I really need to get on that flight. And she goes, there's nothing that can be done now that the door is shut. I said, it was you who shut it, though. Please, I've got a gig tonight in Vermont. I really need to make it. She goes, you won't be making that. So I asked her, what do I do? She goes, I get you a flight, Philly, Chicago, Vermont. You land at 10:30 p.m. I said, that doesn't help me. She goes, well, I guess that's your only option. I said, let me think about it. She goes, it's boarding right now. I said, I'll take it. She goes, all right, it's gate B4. So immediately I start sprinting. People saw me who saw me run the other way. It's a humiliating moment. I get on the next flight by an eyelash. I should be grateful, but I'm in the last row middle seat. That's all they had. I'm fuming. I start pounding Bloody Marys. Then I start drinking whiskey. Before I know it, I'm pretty drunk. And I tweet something along the lines of American Airlines, decent airline, didn't appreciate being called a Jew boy.
He breaks into a grin.
Did they actually say this? Look, I didn't hear it verbatim, but they were incredibly rude. I'm not going to rule out anti-Semitism. So I get an email 3 days later. We take claims like this very seriously. We've conducted an internal investigation. In the meantime, please enjoy 7,500 bonus points. Which, you know, sure, I made up the Jew boy thing, but still, 7,500 points for a word that harmful feels like a slap in the face. So I responded, shame on you, anti-Semites. They wrote back, we've decided to give you an additional 7,500 points. I just picture them in the boardroom, like the N-word is worth 25,000. Jew boy, you have to start low because they will haggle with you. So, you know. That's yeah. Trying to drink less. It's interesting as you get older, right? In my 20s, I would get wasted. I'd wake up the next morning hungover, like, what did I say to that girl last night, you know? I wake up hungover now, like, did I sign up for a Paramount Plus last night with the... and Peacock? Oh, my God, I got hammered. I got really drunk at a steakhouse with my friend recently, though, and, you know, a few too many Manhattans. I get back to my apartment. I'm on my phone. What pops up? It's a little girl with cancer. It's horrible. I got emotional. I got, like, visibly upset. I was like, this is messed up. Life is so unfair. I made a big donation to the charity. And then I woke up the next morning, like, that is a bit more than I would have given, honestly. That's a tough situation. There's not a lot you can do. Hello, American Express Fraud Department. Some piece of garbage stole my card. No, not the steakhouse, St. Jude's Children's Hospital. That's the one I'm trying to contest here. But you know what a guilty pleasure is when you're drunk? A cigarette. There's something very old-fashioned bad about it. I love it. You got to respect the cigarette smoker. They are slowly killing themselves. You got to give them a nod. Yeah. Look at the dirtbags in this city. I love it. So cigarettes are something more, I don't know, like they do make the vape people look like pussies, don't they? There's something more trustworthy about the cigarettes. You see a detective with a cigarette, he's going to find the missing girl. He's got a vape pen. She's fucking gone. You know, it's... And he's going to break the news to you while breathing kiwi mango in your face. It's a double bummer.
He scans the crowd with a smile.
I'll tell you, the AI scares me. The artificial intelligence, this new tech, it's all crazy. They have wheelchairs now that can be driven by neurological impulses. And I'm like, is that good? I can't control my thoughts. Some guy's going to be in a wheelchair like, that is a hot piece of ass. Wheelchair, no. It's the wheelchair's fault. How about sex robots? What do you think? You think you'd do it? No, just me? All right. Guess what? You think you won't, but you might. I think it's going to be like cell phones. Even if you're broke, you're going to be like, I need a sex robot. But if you're really broke, you will get a lower end model. Like maybe while you're fucking it, you get ads. Your balls deep in the robot, all of a sudden you hear, liberty, liberty, liberty. But I'm gone a lot. I'm on the road a lot. It is very hard to have a connection with a human being when you're always connecting through the phone. It's just not easy to be in a relationship. For years, I remember I'd meet girls on apps. I met a girl on one of the apps once in her profile. It said anti-human trafficking. Didn't know we had to announce it, but I've never been burned on that one. I'm on date number 4, like, oh, you're pro-trafficking. Oh, okay. No, it's cool. I'm still trying to get laid. No, I like that. That's very cool. I'm messaging with this woman. We haven't even met in person yet, but we're texting a lot because I'm gone all the time on the road. She's texting me these very sexual messages, each one crazier than the last. She sends me one at one point. A guy's getting blown with a finger in his butt, a woman's finger. And I was shocked. But, you know, shout out to in-flight Wi-Fi. It did come through crystal clear. And still a shocking text to get at 30,000 feet in the sky. Underneath, she writes, do you want this to happen to you? So, you know, I meet her for a drink. And I would have turned the plane around if I could. But I had to wait a couple days. We're having drinks. She shows me, on the date, I'd say 157 pictures of her dog. And I was like, different energy than the other day, but that's okay. But, you know, I'm playing along. I was like, he's very cute. And she goes, that's it. Can't you fake it a little bit? And I was like, that was me faking it, honestly. But we get drunker and drunker. And at one point she goes, I have a weird fetish. And I said, all right. She goes, I really like to pee on men. And I said, excuse me? She goes, it would make me really wet if I could pee on you. I said, I think it would make me pretty wet if you peed on me. She goes, would you let me do that to you? And I was like, yeah, what the fuck? You only live once? What am I, an elitist? She starts pointing and laughing at me, and I asked her, what the hell's so funny? She goes, it was a joke. I was making a joke. I can't believe you let someone do that to you. Clearly that was a joke. And I was like, that's not a good joke. That's not standard humor, is you fake a fetish, the other person bites, and then you point and laugh and shame them. That's not great. And she goes, I guess it wasn't very nice. I said, it's all right. She goes, I'm going to make it up to you. I said, really? She goes, whatever your actual fetish is, I'm going to do it to you tonight. And I said, anything? She goes, anything. I was like, all right, it would really turn me on if we murdered your dog. That'd be cool. Or at least took a pee on your dog. I feel like your dog should suffer for what I've been through, is what I think. My last special, I had a joke that went viral. It was a trans joke. It was a pretty positive joke, but when a joke goes viral, as a comedian, at first you're like, hell yeah. And then a second later, you're like, this could be bad for me. I was watching people weigh in real time. A lot of them were trans. The first trans person was like, this is how you do it. And I was like, consummate professional over here. That's what I do. The next trans person was like, this is our guy now. And I was like, uh-oh. I support, you don't want me to be the voice of the movement, I'm fairly dumb. The next trans person writes, he's my least favorite comedian, and yes, I am familiar with his work. And I was like, that last part bothered me, honestly. He keeps hammering me, Samuel sucks, he's the worst. And you know, I never do this, but I'm bored on the road. I click on the profile. I kid you not, it's someone who tried to aggressively cancel me in 2013 because she hated my jokes. And yes, I just said she. He used to be a she. Who cares? But every post now is, Sam Morrell's the worst. He made bad jokes in 2013. So finally I responded and I wrote, but you know that people can change.
He sips a drink from a whiskey glass.
You were a woman. It's not possible I'm a slightly different dude. Let's be fair here, you know?
He sets it back down on a stool.
People get so weird with the trans stuff, how angry people were about the partnership Bud Light made with the trans woman, Dylan Mulvaney. I will say this, shame on Bud Light for pretending to be good people. That did bother me. That Bud Light's like, guys, before you guzzle 17 of these and then drive home and sneak into your kid's room in the middle of the night to beat the shit out of him for no reason, take a moment to stop and celebrate a trans trailblazer. That's what we do at Bud Light. Anyone who was really pissed that Dylan Mulvaney was on the Bud Light can't get a life. I liked that she was on the can, personally. I did. Because I would look at it, and when I would find her attractive, I would know that I can't drive home. So, for me, it provided a service. And, yeah. If you don't like that one, you're kind of pro-drunk driving, too. So, you're in a pickle. It is interesting to see all these streamers all of a sudden become like allies. Have you noticed that? Like Netflix, Hulu, whichever one doesn't buy this next special. Whatever group is most marginalized that month, they're like, oh, please enjoy our selection of hashtag end Asian hate classics featuring all the essentials. Then you see they have nothing. They're like, Harold and Kumar 2, Escape from Guantanamo Bay, and don't forget about trans awareness. That's why we got Mrs. Doubtfire all month long. So Netflix put Dahmer under LGBT, which I saw that and I was like, mwah. You know someone high up was like, they'll appreciate it. You guys know gay icon Jeffrey Dahmer? Instrumental in the movement.
He grins.
But then you see companies go the other way with it, like Chick-fil-A was the first one I noticed years ago out of nowhere. It was just like, we're against gay marriage. And I think most people were like, you make chicken though, right? You didn't have to say anything. Just a strange thing to announce. If you want to break out the social commentary, maybe work into an ad so there's context. Like, we at Chick-fil-A are against a woman's right to choose unless she's choosing a spicy chicken biscuit breakfast sandwich. In which case, choose away, ladies. Oh, you guys are a good crowd. You know what? You deserve some abortion jokes.
Yeah. He wags a finger, pointing at the crowd.
Hey. You earned it. Some states want to make abortion a Class A felony. You know what else is a Class A felony? Kidnapping. Isn't that crazy? Those people want kids. I say we introduce them to each other a month prior. We save a lot of people a headache. Look, I'm a very spiritual man, and I believe in reincarnation. Yeah, you could tell by my energy, right? I believe in reincarnation. I think if you're an unwanted aborted fetus, you will someday come back as that guy at parties where everyone's like, he's here.
He rolls his eyes.
Still unwanted, but in new form. So that's fun. Here's one I might lose some of you on. Why is it always the most pro-life people who are the ones who leave the babies in the hot car? Have you noticed that? Every time they're like, life is precious, but so is Walmart. So you better hope it's not a super Walmart or that baby's toast. Too many options in the super Walmart. You walk in like, I'm gonna get some sporting goods, some groceries, maybe some clothes while I'm here. Then you get to the baby clothes and you're like, shit. You gotta walk up to the register like, one extra bag, please. Yeah, you know. That one always pisses off the environmentalist, but you can't be scared as a comedian. You know, you really gotta. I love that I'm getting applause breaks on dead baby jokes in a room that has a chandelier. This venue has history, and I'm like, you guys want to hear another dead baby joke? Oh, yeah. I do like kids. I have a nephew. He's a cute kid. The other day, he goes, Uncle Sam, you want to play a game? I said, you got it. He goes, all right, would you rather? I was like, uh-oh. He goes, would you rather get chased by a grizzly bear or have to swim from a shark? And I was like, if I had to choose, I guess chased by a grizzly bear. And he goes, well, you'd be dead. 5 years old, these are the games they're playing. Then he goes, your turn. I was like, all right, would you rather be a sex slave to a pedo or get chased by a grizzly bear? And he was like, sex slave to a pedo. And I said, I think that's the move for you because you can bounce back from that, you know? Smart kid. I have a niece as well, very young. You hang out with these young kids, you gotta let them pick the movie. So I was like, hey, you wanna watch Pulp Fiction or Django Unchained? It's your choice. And she wanted to watch Sesame Street, classic. I watched it growing up. I feel like these kid shows, when I was young though, they felt a bit more escapist. And now even kid shows, they sneak in a political agenda. They sneak it in, but I catch it. One of the Muppets was like, leaving home is hard. The other one goes, it sure is. And I was like, immigration. Left-wing propaganda for children. Harder to make a Republican kid show, but that's the one I want to see, you know? Big Bird is just like, look, some of these Muppets come here and they rape our women. And I'm scared. And I fear change on Sesame Street. The news is so upsetting now with the war. It's so violent, so much bloodshed. It really makes you long for the days of Paul Pelosi getting beaten in the head with a hammer. Those were simpler times. We didn't know how good we had it. I was watching Fox News when that story broke, and I have to give them a lot of... Just the person who doesn't know there's a joke coming. There's a... Boo! It's a comedy show. There's going to be a turn. Where were we on the dead baby chunk? Very strange. I choose odd times to take a stand. It's all right. I've never heard a woman say that before. Let me take a second here. Hold on, I gotta. I was watching Fox News when the Paul Pelosi story broke, and I have to give them a lot of credit for handling with a lot of class by immediately coming on and calling him a homosexual. I thought that was very cool. An 80-something-year-old man's in the ER, his condition's unknown. Tucker Carlson comes on like, I think he's gay. Don't just take it from me. We have a special expert correspondent. Thank you, Tucker. My takeaway is that... I wish Fox News was around in the 1800s. President Lincoln has been assassinated at the theater.
He shrugs.
Was Honest Abe being honest with himself? I don't know. Definitely the first time he took a shot in the back of the head. So that guy, kind of gay.
Smiling, he scratches his head and shifts on his feet.
It is depressing watching the news because you're like, this ain't going to be good, you know? Trump and Biden is pretty depressing. Objectively, it is funny if you're not American, but if you live here, you're like, this is unfortunate for sure. Trump versus Biden is kind of like a drunk driver versus a guy who keeps falling asleep at the wheel. They're like, that guy's awake. They're like, he's not. He's not awake. The point is, you ain't getting home. It ain't good. I was talking to my friend about Trump the other day. He goes, he's a malignant narcissist. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, he only likes people who like him. And I was like, guess I'm a malignant narcissist. That's If Vladimir Putin tweeted, you got to check out the new Sam Morril comedy special, I think I'd be like, look, he is a complicated man. And
stage lights illuminate laughing faces in the front row.
So many of these stories now break on social media, and then you see the comments come flooding in, and you realize how dumb we are. We're not far from a country getting nuked and the first comment being like, yo, they fucked around and found out. Instagram is a ridiculous place. You see people at their absolute highest and their absolute lowest. Guess which one upsets you more? It's the people thriving. Because someone's struggling, you're like, hang in there, buddy. Then you see another guy, he's like, I just got a promotion at work, got the best wife in the world, and I love my little girl. I'm sitting on the toilet hungover like, fuck this motherfucker. You think you're better than me, dude? I saw a woman on Instagram doing an ad for a vibrator recently. Not a porn star, just a regular person. Doing an ad, had a really subtle name too. I think it was called the Clit Sucker. And she was like, ever since I discovered this little gadget here, my life has really turned around. The comments were warm and receptive. Not a lot of men doing paid promotional masturbation ads, huh? You're not gonna see me on Instagram. Aveeno is the only lotion that makes me come. Aveeno immediately hits me with a cease and desist. Like, you gotta cut that out. I'm like, sorry, Aveeno. It's because women are less creepy than men, so you get to do that. You get paid masturbation ad privilege. Because I feel like women masturbate like it's a nice thing to do, and I masturbate like I got bit by a snake and I need to get the poison out immediately. I feel like women are in bed like, I suppose I could. I'm standing over the sink like I've got a Zoom call in 5. Let's try to morph back into a human quickly. That would be nice. I don't even judge public masturbators anymore. I'm like, I think that guy's late for a meeting, probably. It's a good man. I do love this country, though. I really do. I travel. I see a lot of parts that I maybe wouldn't see if I didn't do this. And I was recently in Springfield, Missouri, fired guns at the range. That's not a normal thing for a New York Jew. We don't do that growing up. The only weapons we really saw, like maybe a ninja star in Chinatown, but that's not a great self-defense weapon. But we're firing guns at the range. It's pretty cool, you know? Guns are very controversial. They're a lot like babies. They are easy to hate. But then you hold one and you're like, I kind of get it, dude. It's pretty cool. That's my theory. Guns are like babies. Both annoying on airplanes. You date someone new, you find out they have either. Like, this could be a problem for me. And both will be in a school soon. So, you know. Guys, not all the jokes are happy. Some of them just work mathematically. They're not. My favorite gun enthusiast is the one who's like, it's for emergencies only. Then you see his profile pic on social media. He's like,
he mimes holding guns.
Oh, shit. It's only for emergencies. You never see a guy who's holding an EpiPen.
He poses and pouts.
Hope it doesn't come to this. But if I accidentally chew a peanut, I will use this. Not a lot of guns in New York City, which is probably for the best. It's densely populated. The people are pretty unhinged. But they don't have a gun, you can assume. So you're like, I can get some of my anger out. He probably is not caring, you know? You use that as like fast track therapy almost. You bump a stranger and you're like, watch where you're going, dickhead. He's like, fuck you, dweeb. And then you turn to each other as you're walking away like, good sesh. I was on the subway the other day in New York. I accidentally made eye contact with a crazy person. That's a terrible moment. As a man, that is the closest you come to feeling like a woman in a bar. Like, oh no, we locked eyes and now he's coming toward me, which is not what I wanted. He sits next to me on the train, puts his hand on my leg. There's nothing you can say. You can't be like, oh, I don't like that when people do that. I don't feel safe right now. So I had to get up, I walk away, I put my hand in the pole, he follows me, he puts his hand right above mine, so it's touching. He's just staring at me. Everyone in the train's watching, but they're not watching like they're gonna help. They're watching like, thank God he chose you. That could have been a problem. The city will eat away at you. You gotta get out of New York every once in a while, because at a certain point you just become a lunatic. You're around these people all the time. What really obsessed me about New York is you can't really find a yellow cab easily anymore because Uber and Lyft come into town. They kill them. 4 a.m. comes around. I can't find a yellow cab. I refuse to take the Ubers or Lyfts. Dudes start rolling up on you in their own car. No affiliation with a car service. Just a guy trying to make a buck, dipping his head out the window. Where are you going? So, you know, I give my home address. And he goes, $60. And I'm like, I'm not paying you $60. It's 2 miles. He goes, you fucking pussy. I said, you're a lowlife. He goes, you're a loser. I said, you're the loser. You're driving around alone at 4 a.m. He goes, you're a bigger loser. You walk alone at 4 a.m. I said, I hope your car crashes and it bursts into flames. He goes, I hope you get robbed and beaten in the head with pipe and sodomized. I go, eat shit. He goes, fuck you. And then we paused and I was like, $50. And he's like, all right. I got in the car, and as he's dropping me off at home, I tipped him out 10. He was scrappy, you know? But problem is, you got to get out of New York sometimes, because that energy will take years off your life. That constant fight or flight energy. I was doing a gig in London recently. My girlfriend was like, please, after this, can we go somewhere where you're not doing comedy? I was like, you got it. After this, we will go to Greece. I'll be a normal guy sitting by the pool in black socks reading a book about Hitler. She was like, all right, that's as good as it's going to get, I guess. I don't... We're going there. What happens as we're going from London to Greece? First thing that happens, I'm going through security. They take my lube. It was my fault. It was too big a lube. I rolled the dice. I lived dangerously. But it was the way he took it. He didn't say, I'm taking this. He loudly went, I'm confiscating your lube. And I'm not proud how I responded. I said, but I need it. Please. We get there, she's like, I'm so hungry, I need to eat. You gotta feed your girlfriends, guys. They don't know how to do it on their own. I don't know what she does when I'm not around. I think she just says I'm hungry and it just disappears in the air and she just sits there cold and starving. I'm not trying to generalize, but I do feel like all women.
He grins.
All of you who have ever lived. You get very cranky when you're hungry. It must be tough to date a woman in a third world country, I would think. I feel like every boyfriend there is like, this is bullshit. We get to a restaurant, in walks a woman with enormous fake breasts, and you better believe I looked, and she was not happy. My girlfriend, I don't think the woman noticed, but my girlfriend goes, oh, that's what you like? I said, I wish it were that simple. You know, you're better than her, but that's not how it works. You're a Michelin star restaurant, but I'm a man. I see a Panda Express, I look. And then one day you're alone, that's all you eat is Panda Express. And you're like, this ain't good. Single sex is more thrilling, but it lacks a nutritional value. Relationship sex is boring, but it's healthier. It's like a piece of grilled salmon, relationship sex. No one's jazzed to eat salmon, but you finish it and you're like, pretty good. Single sex is Panda Express. You walk in like, this is going to be excellent. The second it's over, I'm like, I think I'm going to commit suicide. I think I'm a deeply unhappy man, and tonight's the night I end it all. The night of the one-night stand, I'm filled with passion. The next morning, it's a different story. The night of, I'm like, I'll move to Cleveland for this chick. I don't care. The next morning, I'm like, if she died, it would have little no impact on my day-to-day. Just be honest here. You ever hook up with someone from another country? That's a different energy, right? I was with this woman from Argentina. Some stuff is lost in translation when this happens. You know, like right before we sleep together, she goes, this I would surely regret. And I was like, I wonder what that means. You know, it's so interesting to be around other cultures, but I don't want to stand with a woman once. We're at my apartment. I'm going down on her, and she's taking her time. And not trying to be insensitive. I have legitimate neck concerns. So, you know, the whole time I'm down there, I'm just thinking of all the PT I'm going to have to do to get back on track. There's resistance band work. It's a whole thing. It was at least 22 minutes because an entire episode of Frasier played in the back. Yeah. And if anyone's wondering, that show does hold up. Yeah, with my mouth I was licking, but with my mind I was like, fucking Niles. That guy is a rascal, an OG legend. And then like 30, 35 minutes in, she just went, I came. No buildup, no no shaking of the leg, just a wooden delivery, I came. You ever watch an indie film and the credits just pop up out of nowhere? I was like, did you just No Country for Old Men me with your cooch? My last breakup, I was very sad. I was very low at a certain point. She broke up with me. She touched my arm to console me as she did it, and I flexed, which, definite low point in my life. I don't know if I thought that was gonna change her mind. Like, she's like, wait a second. Can you curl 25 pounds? I'm like, I'm getting there, I'll tell you that much. Here's a little breakup advice. Never look at an ex's social media, ever. Don't do it. Don't. All my exes, they're sending me signals. Like, every post is still clearly for me. You know what I mean? Smiling in a wedding dress. Nice try. Sad. Sad when people can't move on with their life. I was sad after the breakup. My friends were like, hey, you gotta get out there. You gotta get laid. And I was like, hell yeah. I get street when I'm sad. And but then that voice in your head is like, it will make you sad if you do that. I was like, right, right. But then that voice in my head is like, but you'll do it. And I was like, of course, yeah. I meet this woman. She's beautiful, but she's incredibly vain. She picks out a pretty pricey spot. We go to dinner. While we're having dinner, she actually says this. She goes, you know, my last boyfriend, starting quarterback in the NFL, so, you know. I said, I know what? She goes, that I'm a catch. I said, yeah, because he threw you away and I caught you. So you're a catch. And she gave me a look. I said, you're very attractive. She goes, you're just saying that because you're trying to sleep with me. I said, and you're pretty smart as well. So, you know, it's pretty good. The bill comes, $375. And she saw it because I angled it. And we're back at my place. We're making out. She stops kissing me for a sec. And she goes, I don't want to be some girl you text your friends about. I said, I'm not going to text my friend Chase about this. She goes, Chase. I was like, too specific. You're not supposed to have a name locked and loaded, but that's my recap buddy, Chase. Everyone here has a recap buddy. It's just your horny friend. It's your friend who's a little too excited that you got laid. This is how it usually plays out. Dude, I had sex last night. He writes back, Instagram profile now. I shoot it over. He writes back, hell yeah. And I'm ashamed to say his enthusiasm fills the emptiness in my life with purpose. So I continue making out with her. I go to remove her pants. She goes, there's something you need to know. I was like, that's not what you want to hear when you're taking off pants. She goes, I haven't shaved in a really long time. I'm getting a Brazilian wax tomorrow before my trip to Europe. And I said, well, that is very exciting news for the next fella. I don't think it's helping me here tonight in the United States, but thank you for briefing me on the renovation schedule. She brings a bottle of wine into my bed next, which is a classic 25-year-old move. This is what I get for bringing home a woman that young. A woman my age would never roll the dice on quality linens with red Pinot. It's amateur hour, but I usually date more age-appropriate. My ex was also, younger. When you date a few years younger, your friends always say things like, young women, they can fuck all night. And I'm like, cool, I can't. So you know what else young women can do? They can fight all night, and they're willing to because they think it matters. I need an older woman with a job that depletes her. That's what I need. Comes home after the job just grinds her into a nice salt. She just collapses on the couch like, don't talk to me. And I'm like, I won't. I'm in bed with this woman. She's got the bottle of wine. I politely say, hey, do you mind taking the bottle out of the bed? I'm worried you're going to spill it. She goes, yeah, I'm going to spill it. The second she says it, dumps it everywhere. I was like, oh. And then she goes, they're just sheets, you pussy. And I said, the way you're disrespecting me right now is really making my dick hard. Good stuff. Keep it up. Then she grabs me and goes, I'll make it up to you. And I was like, respect. Female privilege. A move us fellas can't pull off. I can't ruin your things and then be like, whip out that vag. I know I destroyed one of your belongings, but I figure I finger you for a bit. We're back on track. I don't know what the problem is. By the way, it's 6:30 a.m. I'm not going to get laid. It's fine. I'm washed up. I'm past my prime. It's a younger man's game. I lack the patience, the perseverance, the passion. It's all over for me. Look out the window. I see a jogger, and I was like, ugh. You and me both, buddy. Fighting the good fight. A different fight, but a fight nonetheless. 6:38 comes around, and for some reason, she's coming on to me aggressively. We're making out. She's naked. I'm naked. I'm like, maybe I'm going to turn this around. Maybe I got one more in me. Who knows? Out of nowhere, she starts crying. I said, what the hell happened? Are you all right? She goes, I had a breakup too. I said, all right, let's not do this. And she goes, but I really, really want to. I said, I'm sorry. I'm not comfortable with it. She goes, please. And I go, sure. So we have sex around 7:15 a.m. We wrap up promptly around 7:21. Nothing showy, but nothing to sneeze at neither. And the second it's over, she goes, I'm leaving. I said, just spend the night. She goes, I've seen your comedy. I know you don't like it when women spend the night. I said, they're just jokes. She goes, there's truth to every joke. I said, sometimes you're messing around. She goes, I'm leaving. I said, sincerely, I hope you spend the night or morning, whatever the hell this is. We'll get 6 hours of sleep. We'll get a late breakfast. You might even have a fun day with me tomorrow. You never know. She looks right at me and goes, bye, and slams the door in my face. And I do a sad, slow, pathetic walk back to my bed. And I collapse into the wine-soaked sheets. And I roll over and I text Chase, I'm back, motherfucker.
He takes another sip of his drink.
You need your buddies. Everyone, you need your buddies. I was hanging out with a close friend the other day. He's a gay man. And you ever hang out with a gay guy so much that their behavior slowly begins to rub off on you? We're gossiping about a mutual friend, and he goes, oh, that guy, I heard he's got a huge dick. And I was like, really? Then a few days later, I'm with a straight friend, the same guy's name comes up. I was like, I heard that guy's got a massive hog. And he was like, why are you telling me this? Thought that's what we do now. Thought we talk about our friend's sweet dong. We were talking about HPV, which, by the way, if you don't have it at this point, get off the bench and get in the game, really. Found out I had it years ago. The doctor was like, you have HPV. And I was like, oh, no. And he goes, who gives a shit? I have it. I said, really? He goes, did you fuck in your 20s? And I said, yeah. He goes, then you have it. I looked at the nurse. She does this.
He tilts his head and nods knowingly.
It's a direct quote from my doctor. Did you fuck in your 20s? I was like, I'm going to have to get a better insurance plan next year. I become buddies with this doctor because, you know, I don't have to use the portal with him. I could just text him for information. Like, my neck was killing me. I said, hey, can I do kettlebells? They're going to agitate the nerve in my neck. He wrote, I can't talk right now. I'm fucking my ex in Italy. I said, well, you wrote that. You could have written yes or no probably, but my doctor's my friend Chase. I'm going to tell you a very strange story. So this happened a few months ago. The worst person I ever dated tried to reach out to reconnect with me. She was terrible. This was like 17 years ago. A narcissist, a manipulator, made everything about her. Let's call her Melinda for the sake of this story. She calls me from a blocked number. I have the same number since I was a kid. So it's, you know, easy to reach out, I guess. I pick up. I say, hello. She goes, it's me. And I go, you? She goes, Melinda? And I couldn't stop my body from going, ugh. It just came out of me. And she goes, can you talk? And I was like, oh, it's a bad time. And she goes, well, what about later? Which is kind of like if a cockroach came from behind the fridge and saw the expression on your face and was like, we'll reschedule. And you're like, right, that wasn't the issue exactly. But I panic, I hang up, and I will now read you the text exchange between us.
He takes out his cell phone.
Because this is next level bonkers. Hey, sorry, it's Melinda again. Can I call you back or something? Separate text, please. Separate text, Sam, it's Melinda. Separate text, what time should I call? Four distinct personalities coming at you lightning fast, huh? I haven't yet responded. She writes, I just have a very quick question. Trust me, please. I don't. I write, text it. She writes, I'd rather not. Don't worry, it's nothing salacious, like at all, I promise. I write, text is your only option. You'll soon see why I have to go to such lengths to create clear boundaries with her. She writes, oy vey. Well, you're available for a few minutes right now, even if it's over text. I write, 2 min max, any more I will block you. She writes, block me. Oh, dear. Okay. What a strange thing to say to me. But the actual reason I've reached out is because you know how you're performing at Madison Square Garden November 4th? I headline the Madison Square Garden Theater November 4th. It's nothing. It's not a big deal. It's just hard work meets talent and determination, you know? It's nothing, but... Well, I'd really love to come. I sent you a message a while back on social media. Not sure if you got it. ./question is, would you be okay with that? With me coming to your show. I write, wouldn't make a difference to me. It's a pretty big venue. She writes, that sounds kind of mean. I guess I'm not sure why. I just didn't want to intrude or anything. Intrude on Madison Square Garden. Like I'm gonna be on stage mid-set like, who the fuck is that?
He squints at the crowd.
What I do next is passive aggressive because I want the conversation to end. I just text her a Ticketmaster link. Hoping that's that. She writes, okay, great, thanks. See you then. Break a leg as usual. Hope to see you, like, actually see you? Anyway, thanks for taking the time. Hope to see you before or after your show. This is when a normal person would stop, right? She's just getting warmed up. Okay, wait, which seats do I pick? Which seats, Sam? Let me know. I write, they're all good seats. It's the world's most famous arena. She writes, please help me pick. I'm happy to pay top dollar. I'm not good at picking seats. Separate text. Please help me pick seats. If you could help me with choosing the seats, I'd really appreciate it. Just let me know how to pay, okay? No response, followed up with a question mark. I send her another Ticketmaster link, this time to the last row, all the way to the right. They're the furthest seats from me in the entire venue. She writes, these aren't very close. And I respond, neither are we.
He puts his phone down on the stool and faces the audience again.
I really, really wish that's where the story ended. But the big night comes. I'm on stage at the MSG Theater. Things are going well. Getting some good laughs. Anytime I do a joke about an ex-girlfriend, though, I hear a voice in the crowd go, hey! Hey! I'm like, that's her stupid voice. One bad decision 17 years ago haunting me on the biggest night of my career. I play with it. I try to make it as fun as possible without embarrassing her. I get off stage. My agent goes, that was her. And she was removed. And you better believe I heard about it the next day.
He retrieves the cell phone.
Hey, Sam. So I came to your show with Mom and was so happy to be there. And happy for you. When you came on stage, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I came out. It's every show I have to come out. It's standard. It's a contractual breach if I stay backstage. It would be foolish business for everyone involved. When suddenly MSG security came up behind me and the man told me I needed to shut the fuck up. Shocked and upset, I asked for his name, which he said was Paul. Paul is my agent, Mike. I love how committed he is. I also love that he had an alias locked and loaded. It's amazing that I have an agent that runs in the crowd seeing someone ruin my show and goes, shut the fuck up. And when she said, who are you? He goes, Paul. Anyway, the texts go on and on and on. I stopped responding a long time ago, but I called my agent. I was like, is this a problem? He goes, yeah, this could be a safety issue. We got to do a background check. So we did one. And you want to hear the results? She's a working psychologist in New York City. I agree. I love it. I love that there's a dude in her office like, my ex won't text me back. And she's like, never stop.
He pointedly stares, then smiles widely.
Finding out she's a psychologist is like finding out Cosby's on the new season of The Bachelor. I gotta wrap this up. But let me tell you a story. So, you know, we've been on the road hard recently. It's, you know, me, James, who's directing this special, directing my last one, Gary, who you've seen earlier tonight, my boy Gary, Gary Veeder, and Brian, who you guys have met, Brian, my tour manager. So we're doing a gig in Baltimore. We're going from New York to Baltimore. There's a three-hour delay on Amtrak. I'm in a bad mood. I'm stressed. I might have muttered the word Nazis at some point. And then I thought about it. If they were actual Nazis, I'd be on the train. So the destination would be worse. But as far as we're talking about transit, I'm getting there on a Nazi car. But we get to Baltimore. I'm in a very bad mood. And we usually play basketball to sweat out the booze or, you know, big meal. We sweat it out basketball. But I was like, guys, let's do hot yoga today. You guys know Baltimore's known for hot yoga. So we're in the class, all four of us. We're struggling. It's 30 minutes into a 90-minute hot class. At the 30-minute mark, the instructor recognizes me. She goes, I see we have a comedian in the class. Does he want to tell a joke? I look at Brian like, dude, what the hell do I do here? I'm a downward dog. It's not ideal, you know? Brian gives me a look like, let me handle this, which I don't know what that means. And then Brian goes, I'll tell a joke. I was like, what are you doing? This is a joke Brian tells a room full of women. It's an old joke of mine. He goes, my friend's girlfriend just had a miscarriage in the shower. And I was like, oh my God, worst baby shower ever. Silence. Except for one black dude in the back who went, oh shit. The instructor goes, well, I'm triggered. I was like, you think you're upset? That one usually kills. So I turned to Brian. I was like, dude, what the heck? He goes, it's your joke. I said, yeah, I don't open with it. You got to earn some of these. The thing about a good miscarriage joke is, without a proper delivery, it's just nothing. Thank you, Boston. You rule.
Morrell sets the mic back into its holder and gives the audience a short wave. He tucks the cell phone back into his jacket pocket, then holds up his glass and waves again. He mouths the words, thank you, and heads backstage. Written and performed by Sam Morrill. Directed by James Webb. Executive producer Sam Morrill. Executive producer Matthew Vaughn. Executive producer James Webb. Director of photography James Webb. Associate producers Brian Hubbard, Tom Fatora.
This probably won't make this special, but I'm going to do it anyway because I like to do this at live shows. Give me a real problem, I will solve it. And it's got to be real, though. It can't be like some bullshit. It's got to be a real problem. But I will solve it, and I'll buy you a drink if it's a good problem. I think you're looking for like a laundromat or something. I don't know. It's a live comedy show. I meant like emotional problems or something. The first guy was good. He's like, I have a furniture issue. Okay. I'm going to guess it was you. Based on your accent.
Production manager, Claire Walter.
Someone must have peed on my carpet.
Lighting designer, Bob Peterson.
I love them. It's such a drunken accent, the Boston accent. I fucked up my car. It was either me who shit my pants or someone else. I don't know who.
Edited by James Webb. Credits continue. On the road, Sam Morrill and comedian Gary Veeder lie in opposite bunk beds across the aisle of a tour bus.
Oh, hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
I'm sorry.
Near the concrete pedestal at the grassy knoll, they read a plaque on Abraham Zapruder. Elsewhere.
Oh, man, that's my type.
That's your girl, dude. Set you up, buddy. Yes.
If the pepperonis don't curl up like a pug's tail staring into his butthole, I want nothing to do with it.
Give me back my nose candy, bitch.
No, dude, I'm not kidding.
Give me back my nose candy, bitch.
What are you doing?
Shoot you.
A pug in a blue sweater patterned with white clouds looks around from its dog bed. Footage shows Morrill and Veeder strolling along sidewalks with a few others. Audio description produced by Pixel Logic Media for Amazon MGM Studios. Descriptions by Annette Athanathias and voiced by Suki Jimenez. Title, Sam Morrill. You've changed. Copyright 2024 Sammy Moe Inc. All rights reserved. Rotten Science. Pop Studios. Amazon MGM Studios.